I want to share with you this evening a lesson taken from Titus chapter 2, or based upon Titus chapter 2, some passages there that we read from the Word of God as Paul writes to Titus, whom he had left in Crete to work with the church there. And he said some wonderful things to him in these passages that I'll be sharing with you this evening. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse number 11. We are told there that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The title of my lesson tonight is Living in This Present World. Living in this present world. As Christians, we are en route to another world. We should be like Abraham, as the Bible speaks about him in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, that he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We should be just like Abraham as we live in this present world, knowing that this present world will not last forever. Therefore, we should be looking for another world. But as we live in this world and as we go through this present world, God calls upon us to live a certain lifestyle so that we can be assured of reaching our home that is being prepared for us. I want us then this evening to consider, to understand something about the nature of this present world that we're living in. There are three things that I want to talk about this evening concerning this present world. Number one, this present world that we're living in has a prince. And number two, this present world that we are living in, it also has a philosophy. And thirdly, this present world in which we are tabernacling in has a purpose. Let us look at these three things then that I've just talked about concerning this present world. The word prince means ruler or power. This present world has a ruler. It has a prince. It has a power. And Paul says that we're living in this present world. And the ruler or the power or the prince of this present world is talked about in scriptures like Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 6, and also Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at those scriptures for a moment and let's see what the Bible has to say concerning the prince. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says this: wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And in chapter 6 of Ephesians, and verse number 12, Paul said to the church there, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I believe when we look at those passages that I've just shared with you, we can understand and we can see then that the prince of this world is none other than Satan, or none other than the devil. So as we live in this present world, we must always recognize that we are going to be confronted with the devil. And the devil is no plaything. The devil has power. And we dare not yield ourselves to the power of the devil. And so we're so thankful again tonight for Jesus Christ, because it was in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ that we can be victorious over the devil. As a matter of fact, for the faithful and those who remain faithful have already become victorious over the devil. So we are thankful then tonight that we have scriptures like Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, where the Bible says that who has delivered us. And if you read the preceding verses, a couple of verses just before there, you see that he's talking about God. That God has delivered us, the Bible says, from the power of darkness. The power of the devil. Darkness represents the devil and his influence. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Are you glad tonight that you're in the kingdom of God's dear son? I'm sure you're glad. I'm glad tonight that I have been delivered from the power of darkness and I'm now in the kingdom of God's dear son. Now I must, and you must, and we must do everything possible, and God, of course, has given us the tools to do the very thing that keeps us in the kingdom of his dear son and keeps us victorious over the devil. But we must never forget that the devil has power. The devil is the prince, the power, the ruler of this world. And he rules by deception. I say he rules by deception. He deceives us into thinking that the things that are wrong or the things that we would do wrong, that these things are all right. He deceives us. As a matter of fact, that's what got him kicked out of heaven, because he was the deceiver. Listen what the Bible says concerning him in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. And there was war, the Bible says, in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon, verse number 9 says, was cast out, that old serpent called what? The devil and Satan, which deceiveth, the Bible says, the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the devil then is the master of deceptions, and he rules by deception. And deception was his very first device that he used on mankind. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. And we know that goes back to Genesis chapter 3. The woman was deceived. The devil deceived her. And I want to tell us tonight, this evening, that the devil is still on the attack. He's still looking for people to deceive. He's still looking for people to lead astray. He's still looking for people to devour. And that's why when Peter wrote to the Christians in his day and time, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, he says there, be sober, vigilant. In other words, be on guard, be watchful. Why, Peter? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he says, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he can deceive, seeking whom he can pull the wools, as we would say, over their eyes. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let him work his power on you, because he's a powerful being. So as we live in this world, on our way to the next world, looking for that city whose builder and maker is God, watch out for the devil. Watch out for the prince of this world, because he's a powerful enemy. Yeah.
But when Christ is in us, we can be victorious over the devil.
John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
So I don't care how much power the devil has, he does not have enough power to outpower or overpower Christ and God.
And so we can be victorious as long as we're in Christ and as long as we're doing his will, because Christ has already blazed the trail, if I can put it that way.
He has overcome the world, and since he has overcome the world, if we remain attached to him and faithful to him, he will give us the strength also to overcome the world.
But while we're going through this present world, we're going to have troubles, we're going to have trials, we're going to have struggles, yes, difficulties, but Christ has overcome the world.
And so when John wrote, he wrote the words of Christ. He said in John 16 and verse number 33, he says, in this present world, or in this world, you're going to have what?
Tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer.
Why, Lord? Because I have overcome the world.
And if he has overcome the world, then we can be an overcomer also.
So as we travel through this world, then, watch out for the prince. Watch out for that great, powerful devil. Watch out for Satan. Watch out for that deceiver,
because he will deceive us and cause us not, or rather influence us not, to reach our destination, heaven.
But not only as we travel through this world do we have to worry about the prince of the world, but we also have to worry about, and when I say worry, I'm talking about being concerned about the philosophy of this world. This world has a philosophy. This world has a certain belief, a particular system of principles and conduct of life, and the world has a belief about it that does not match up with our belief that we have in Christ. That's why John tells us about don't love this present world. But we must make sure and understand that the world has a philosophy. And some of the philosophies or some of the beliefs of the world can be summed up or can be named such as this. The world has its own God. That's the philosophy of the world. The world says, be your own God. And such ideas like this, whatever feels right to you is right, all right. That's a philosophy of being your own God. And the same thing happened in the days of the judges. In Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, when there was no, in those days there was no king in Israel. And what happened as a result of no king being in Israel, he says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. When there was no king in Israel. And when you look at the world system today, the world's ideology today, the world's philosophy today, everybody that's connected with the worldly system is doing that which is right in their own eyes. I would say to us, don't fall victim to that kind of thinking, because we have a king. Our king is God. Paul called him a king in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 17. Paul said this as he wrote to Timothy. He said, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. He's describing God as the king. He's describing God as invisible. He's describing God as immortal. So God is our king. Let us never forget that we have a king. Don't get to such a point that Israel got to, because they didn't have an earthly king. They began to do which is right in their own eyes. No, we don't have an earthly king, but we have a heavenly king if we belong to Christ. He is the one that tells us what we should do, tells us what we should not do. You see, right must be determined by what God says is right. Man says what is right, what I feel like is right, what I think is right, what I believe is right. But God tells us through his word what is right. So the psalmist wrote about it. He sung about it in Psalms 33 and verse number 4. He says this, he says, for the word of the Lord is what? Right. The word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. So don't worry about what the world say, what the world believes, what the world practices. Make sure we concern ourselves with what the word of God says. And when we align ourselves with the word of God, then we know that we are doing right. As we live in this present world, we're going to be bombarded with all kinds of ideas, all kinds of ideologies, trying again to get us to do wrong. Some prevalent philosophies today would be, again, like this: enjoy life to its fullest without any boundaries. Do you know what I mean when I say enjoy life to its fullest without any boundaries? In other words, don't let nothing stop you from doing anything that you want to do. There are a lot of things that we might be tempted to do, but we must realize we have boundaries, and the boundaries are set for us in God's word. There are things we can do, things we can't do. We must look in God's word to make sure we don't cross the boundaries. But the world says, enjoy life to its fullest without boundaries. And Solomon wrote about something similar to this when he was cautioning and advising and giving admonition to the young people. And not only is this good for young people, but this is also good for older people also. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 and 10, Solomon said this. Solomon said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine heart. But know thou that for all these things, he says, God will bring thee, where? Into the judgment. We talked about the judgment this morning. So Solomon is saying, yes, enjoy your youth. Enjoy your time here on earth. But make sure there are boundaries, there are limits. You can't pass the limit. You got to enjoy yourself within the scope of God's word. And I want to tell us this evening that there is joy in the scope of God's word. But the world will say you can't have any fun, you can't have any joy, you can't have any good time in God's word. You got to jump on the party bus, Sister Veronica, and ride around Huntsville. I was reading about the party bus. Y'all know Huntsville got a party bus now? Got a party bus now that drives around the city. You can get in there and just enjoy yourself and live it up. It got all kinds of stuff in it. That's what the world says. That if you want to have a good time, you got to party harder. You got to do this and you got to do that. But we have boundaries as children of God as to how far we can go. And I'm afraid that some of these folks that get on Facebook, they think the same thing. Because you see them on there with their wine glasses, and you see them doing this, and you see them doing all that kind of stuff. They think that's having a good time. Well, it may be having a good time, but they need to realize what Solomon says. For all of this, God is going to bring you into the judgment. So the world has a philosophy. It says, enjoy life to its fullest without boundaries. The world says, again, that, as we talked this morning, same-sex marriages are all right. I want to say to us this evening that God's word has already been settled on that issue. Nobody can vote on what's right and what's wrong as far as God is concerned. What they did in Ireland was voting and thinking that their vote is going to make God's word void. Well, when they vote on something like that, they don't believe in God's word in the first place. How can you vote on something that God has already said? If you vote fornication is all right, then that's all right. If you vote lying is all right, that's all right. If you vote stealing is all right, that's all right. God has already said that these things are wrong. So how can somebody come in and vote that is right and folks fall for that stuff? But that's what the world is saying. That's the philosophy of the world. And so you have people standing on there like the man last night on TV saying, I'm going to find me one of these Irish boys to marry. Did y'all see that? That's a shame. That's a shame. But that's the world's philosophy. Committed relationships. That's this live together stuff. No, we're not going to get married, but we're in a committed relationship. That's the world's philosophy. Don't fall for that kind of stuff. Everyone has they have the right to their own belief. That's the world's philosophy. How can you have a right to your own belief when God's word says there's only one belief or only one faith? And that's the faith that God wants us to have. The only way that we can please God is to do his will. So we need to beware of the world's philosophy. But this world has a philosophy, and we need to be aware of it. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8, Paul said this to the church at Colossae. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. If you want to be spoiled, brothers and sisters, be spoiled after Christ. Don't be spoiled after the philosophies of men or after the philosophy of this world. Not only does the world that we're living in now presently has a prince, not only does it presently has a philosophy, but the world has a purpose. There's a purpose for all of the stuff that goes on in the world. And the purpose is to draw us as far away from God as possible. And again, that's Satan's job. That's what he's out to do, to destroy us, to take us as far away from God as possible. And as I said earlier, when John wrote about the love of the world, he was writing to put people on guard of the power of this world, or the purpose, I should say, of this world, is to draw a person away from God. Listen to what he says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, a familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of us. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's what Satan wants. He don't want the love of the Father to be in you. He wants you to be as far away from the Father as possible. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, he says, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. Satan knows that. He knows the world is going to pass away. And the lust thereof. But here's what he don't want you to do. He don't want you to abide forever. But John says, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the world's purpose then is to draw us as far away from God as possible. And the love of the world will accomplish that very purpose. So don't fall in love with the world. Therefore, then, we need to beware of our surroundings, the things that are happening around us. We need to beware. We don't need to walk through this world as we live in this present world. We don't need to live in this present world with our heads in the sand. We need to be aware of stuff that's going on around about us so that we'll know how to avoid it. Even we need to be aware of the company that we keep. Because Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33, he says, beware, be not deceived. Evil communication, evil company, corrupt good morals, or corrupt good manners. We need to beware of the company that we keep. The Proverbs writer said, Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 10, he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily, for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Sinners will entice us with those kind of things. But he said, my son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Again, the world can make things so enticing. The world wants us to walk step in step, hand in hand with it. But Solomon says, we need to refrain our foot from the path of sinners or from the path of this world. I would say to us this evening as I close, don't let the things of this world. These three things I talked about. The power, the philosophy, and the purpose. Don't let it draw us away from Christ. But as he said to Titus again, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. You see, ungodliness is a portion of that world. Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Let us live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for the blessed God and Savior who redeemed us from all iniquity and purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So let us realize then as I close tonight that only through Christ and his power can we be victorious over this present world. May his power then continue to enable us to live as he has directed for us to live in this present world as we travel toward the world to come. If you're here then this evening and you're subject to the call of the gospel, if you have not obeyed the gospel, the only way you can make it to that other world and see God's face in peace, you're going to have to be a child of God. Believe the gospel, repent of your past sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and be buried in a water grave of baptism for the remission of sins. The Lord will add you to his church. He will enable you with the power to live in this present world and go through this present world and come out of it victorious. But you got to be faithful and you got to trust God. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, if you found yourself giving in to Satan, you found yourself letting his power overpower you, you found yourself giving in to the philosophy of this world, letting the world fulfill its purpose in your life, I would say to you this evening, turn away from whatever it is and put your trust and your confidence and faith again in Jesus Christ, because only through him can we get through this world victorious. You see, trying to get through the world, being pleasing in God's sight by doing the things of the world is the same thing as trying to clean your clothes with dirt, dirty clothes with dirt. You'll never be able to do it. We're going to have the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. That only comes by being a member of his body and living obedient lives in his sight. So if you need to come this evening, you need to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, or if you need to confess of it every way, if you just need prayer, whatever your need is, while we're standing and while we're singing, will you come?
Have you all-